God gives us the freedom to choose our path in life. But He reserves the consequences of that choice to Himself. Process that for a moment. Think about that. God gives us the freedom to choose our path. He gives us the ability to choose how we are going to live, what we're going to do. But the consequences of that choice, He reserves to Himself. A fellow by the name of Rick Amato, who was one of the evangelists that we used to work with all the time, he's doing very well. I talk with him almost every week. Used to say that all the time. We can choose what we do, but God chooses the consequences. That's the essence of Psalm 1. We're going to spend our time this summer in the Psalms. We're going to spend some time looking at some select particular Psalms. And we're going to begin this morning with Psalm 1. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me if you would there, please. The first Psalm, which really summarizes not only that topic, not only that thought there, but all of the book of Psalms. Psalms is really about wise living, living that helps us enjoy life the way that God intends for us to enjoy life. Really, the book of Psalms is the hymnal of the nation of Israel. It spans from the very, very beginning. Some psalms in here, they think that Job wrote some of the earliest parts of the Bible, and it goes all the way through the entire nation of Israel's history. This particular psalm, we're not sure exactly who wrote it, but it's one that really sets the tone for the entire book. So listen as we read this, and you'll see that as it kind of comes to the forefront, this piece of choice and consequence as the psalmist unpacks that for us. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I want you to look here at the choice and the consequence. It's kind of a revolving door. He first talks to us about the negative choices that we should avoid, the kinds of things that we should not do. And it's kind of a rhythm here. As soon as he goes through that, then he talks about the consequences. And then he begins to look at the other and unpack that other kind of thought. In the first couple of verses, the psalmist clearly lays out for us these two very different pathways. They're diametrically opposed, two different ways of living. It's when you read the first two or three or four verses, it's almost as if he has a big do not enter sign here. He's like, the psalmist is going, don't go this way, wrong way. This is not the place that you want to go. This is not where you want to end up. This is not what you want to do. Notice how he begins to talk about it. He says, if you want to be blessed. Now, that's a very, very big word in the book of Psalms. It's not just about getting good things. That's not all that he is talking about. What the psalmist is talking about here is blessing in the sense of happiness or contentment. One way that you would say it is, how happy is the person who chooses to live the way that God tells us we should live. It's not just, oh, I'm going to get the things that I want. It talks about that internal sense of rightness, that internal sense of peace, that internal sense of God is present in my life, and regardless of what comes my way, I know it's going to be okay because God is there. And He's going to shepherd me. He's going to walk with me. He's going to encourage me. He's going to get me through whatever comes. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. Who avoids, and if you take a look at this, these three different ideas, there is a progressive decline in lifestyle. Look at it. That does not walk this way. It means literally, you just don't hang out with people who are doing the wrong thing. Does not walk in the counsel, or does not walk in the advice or the plans. of those who are morally wrong. That's what the word ungodly means, morally wrong. So the first thing that he's talking about here is this. He says, listen, pay attention to your life. Look at the people that you have in your life and ask yourself this question. The people that I have in my life, the ones that I hang out with, that's what the word means. The ones that I hang out with, the ones who I turn to when I'm not sure what's going on and I ask, Dave, what do you think I should do about this? How should I handle this situation? What should my response be here? Don't ask that question from people who have morally wrong behavior, because they're going to give you what? Bad advice. My grandmother used to go, you know, birds of a feather hang together. Anybody ever heard that one? I guess one of them Southern things. Here's how the Bible says it. Bad company, 1 Corinthians, bad company corrupts good character. How's that? Bad company corrupts good character. You have to pay attention to the people that you spend time with, those that you hang out with. But then there's a step further down. When you take this next step, now you're not talking about just walking with them, but now you are standing with them. It's a different word, and what it means is you are constantly in their presence. You're walking the same roads on a regular basis that we're walking in their way. You are constantly with them. They are joined at your hip. Wherever you go, they go. Wherever they go, you go. You are connected. You are one with them. And then he talks about the word sinners. It's a very, very different word. The first one there, ungodly, just says people who do wrong stuff. Well, that's most of us. This one is very different. This is a word that's used for criminals. Literally is what it means. People who regularly break the law. People who are doing not just the things that God says, because there's a difference between God's law and man's law, right? There's a lot of stuff that the world, that our culture, that people around us say is okay, that God says no. But these people not only are being disobedient to what God says, they're also being disobedient to the world around us. It's criminal behavior. And Paul said, or the author here says, listen, don't walk and hang out with people who are just doing things that are wrong, but also don't join your life with people who insist on breaking the law and doing things that are against what even common, everyday people who don't walk with God say are wrong. And then the last one is, don't sit down or remain or abide with. Literally, the word means, don't make your home your dwelling place. Now, it's interesting that this last word that we're not supposed to be doing doesn't talk about behavior as it relates to other people. It talks about behavior as it relates to God. Those who are scornful of, who deride, who mock spiritual things. What is worse in God's sight than someone who lives incorrectly, someone who breaks the laws, someone who is disrespectful of God and His character? And so when you take a look at these three different ideas, here's what you see taking place. Number one, there is an increasing amount of time being spent with those who are doing the wrong thing. It's a spiral, and it is a spiral down. You know, most of us don't maintain our lifestyle. If we're not careful, there's a steady decline. It's like crabs in the basket. You ever go crabbing, and you throw the crabs in the basket, and one of them tries to get out, what happens? The ones inside reach and grab them and drag them back in. That's the way my friends were with me. Whenever I was trying to get out of their bad stuff, they were grabbing me and dragging me back. There's this steady decline. The second thing that you notice here in this passage of Scripture is that there's this constant progression downward. Here's what happens. That's the way that sin works in our life. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, over to the book of John. I want you to read with me a passage in John chapter 18. Because this is a perfect explanation. This is a perfect way of seeing what's going on. Here you have Peter. And Peter is a pretty strong-willed guy, right? If you've followed him through the scripture, you know that Peter is always the first one out. He's always the one who opens his mouth. He's always the first one to put his foot in it. Peter is a strong-willed man. He's trying to do the right thing all the time. And sometimes his passion gets a little bit ahead of him and he goes in the wrong direction, even though he knows better. But now in this passage of scripture in John chapter 18, Jesus has been arrested. Okay? He's on trial, and so they're moving him from place to place to place. Nobody wants to take responsibility because they know they've got an issue on their hands. They know that the crowd is behind Jesus, and if they condemn him, if they put him in jail, if they end up as they do crucifying him, everybody's going to be upset. So nobody wants to take responsibility for that. So they're passing him from place to place to place. They're moving him between the religious leaders and between the political leaders of the day, and they're all like, I don't want this when you take it. I don't want this when you take it. I don't want this when you take it. You figure out what to do with it. And as they're moving Jesus around, Peter's following in the background. And they finally get to a place over in John chapter 18. I want you to pick up with me around verse 15. They've taken him to the high priest's house. And in verse 15 of chapter 18, the scripture says, Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and he brought Peter in. So now he's no longer outside the camp. He's no longer walking in a bad way. Now he's standing with people who are doing the wrong thing. You're not one of his disciples, are you? The girl at the door asked Peter. He replied, I am not. It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. And Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. I heard a sermon years and years and years ago. I cannot for the life of me remember who it was that preached it. And he made the point, pastor did at that time, of what happens when you warm yourself at the enemy's fire. Think about that for a moment. Peter has slid up beside some people who are cheering for what's taking place as Jesus is on trial. He just wanted to see what was going on, but he's put himself in a place that he shouldn't be. And now because he is there, someone looks at him and they go like, hey, aren't you with him? And Peter's like, I don't even know him. What are you talking about? That's exactly what the psalmist is saying to us. He's saying, be careful who you walk with. Be careful who you spend time with. Be careful when you find yourself warming yourself at the enemy's fire. It would be probably more meaningful to the next crowd that we have coming in. But I remember how the decline took place in my life into drugs. It's very easy. My friends went that path, and I didn't want to lose my friends. And I was adamantly opposed to anything that had to do with drugs at that point. But I didn't want to lose my friends, so I decided I would be with them, hang out with them, spend time with them, but I wasn't going to do anything like that. That lasted for about 4 to 6 months. And then one day, things weren't going so well. There was difficulties, problems. I'm not sure what was going on in my life at that point. But it was right there. It was available. And because I was in a place with a group of people that I shouldn't be, I made a decision that led down the wrong path. And 2 or 3 years later, I found myself exactly where Peter was at, looking at someone and going, I don't know him. I don't know who you're talking about. The psalmist says, listen, pay attention to the people in your life. Pay attention to who you walk with. Pay attention to who you spend time with. Pay attention who you allow to be closest in your life. Don't you find yourself warming yourself at the enemy's fire. Because when you do, sooner or later, you're going to get burnt. There is a constant decline in what the psalmist is talking about in this particular passage of Scripture. That's the way the sin is at work in our life. It starts with something innocent. But the longer you are in the wrong place with the wrong people, the deeper in you get, the further down you go, and the harder it is to stop the decline and get out. Some of you may be in that place this morning. You may be at work with someone, and there's an attraction there that shouldn't be there, and you find yourself beginning to say, wonder how I can spend a little bit more time with that person. Wonder how I can just, maybe we should have some lunch together. Just all innocent, right? And the closer you get, the more you warm yourself at that fire, the greater the danger is in your spiritual life. Before long, what you will discover is you're going to be in a place you never wanted to be, in a place you never intended on being in. Because you allowed yourself to gently move in the wrong direction. Don't warm yourself at a fire you shouldn't be warming yourself at. Be very careful. Protect your spiritual life. The time to stop it is before it ever begins. The time to stop it is at the base, at the foundation, when you make a very different choice. Because, as we said just a little bit earlier, as we quoted Rick Amato, God gives you the ability to make choices in your life. But listen, He reserves the consequences of those choices to Himself. You can choose how you live. But when you walk, when you sit, when you stand in the wrong place, you find yourself where you never intended to be. But there's a positive choice. Continue to read here. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But look, his delight, his joy, his happiness, his pleasure comes from the law of the Lord. And on that law he meditates day and night. The statutes and the teachings of the Word of God. That's where we found it. If you want to warm yourself, if you want to find comfort, if you want to find peace, if you want to find help, if you want to find strength, this is where you find it. That's the path. That's the choice that's going to lead to the kind of life that we all desire, that we all want. When we meditate on, the word means to ponder, to study, to examine the Word of God, to hide it in our heart, to listen to it, to allow it to permeate and settle in. You see, the psalmist is laying out for us the choice that we all have to make. What path am I going to walk? Which direction am I going to go? Because there's really only one path that leads to happiness. The other one seems right, but it's not. It seemed like a good place to be when it was cold outside, to slide up to that fire and warm himself up. But what Peter discovered was he was in a place that he shouldn't be. And because he was in a place that he shouldn't be, with the people that he shouldn't be with, he ended up saying and doing things that he never thought he would do. So the psalmist very clearly lays out that choice for us. He says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof leads to death. There's only one path that leads to happiness, and that's the path that is walking, the path that God has laid out for us as His children. Now, the consequences of the choice. Take a look at what takes place here. And the psalmist, again, he begins to unload that for us. He begins to show us exactly what it looks like. He says, listen, you have two different paths that you can choose. Are you going to choose the path of hanging out with people, spending time with those who are going in the wrong direction? Or are you going to walk the path of God? You're going to walk the path of spending time in His Word and with people who are following Him. Now, as you begin to look at that and understand it, he begins to talk about what the consequences are. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. What are the consequences of walking a path that God intends for us as His children to walk? He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. He talks about five different things here. Five different things that come into the life of those who are walking a path that God intends for us to walk. Number one, he says there is some stability. We will be like a tree planted by streams of water. I want you to notice something. This is a cultivated tree. It is a tree. It didn't just happen there. It wasn't just a random occurrence that the tree ended up there. It is a tree that is planted in that place. It is a tree that is cultivated, cared for, nurtured, and nourished. When we're walking the path that God intends for us, we will be like a tree planted by streams of water. He's talking there about stability. Anybody need a little bit of stability in their life? You ever feel like things are changing around you so fast that you can't keep up with it? There's just so much going on that it's just sometimes almost overwhelming. And sometimes the trials and the difficulties seem to sweep in from every different direction, and we don't even know how to respond to them. Here's what the book of Proverbs says. It says, when the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. Why? Because when you have your heart and your life planted in the Word and the ways of God, it gives you a stability and a place to stand that even the most difficult things in life will not blow you away. But when you continue to read, the psalmist says, not so the wicked. So there's some stability that is there. A cultivated life in the things of God. There's a provision. Be like a tree planted by streams of water. God sustaining, God nourishing. When the trouble comes, when those dry times come, God is still there. Jesus told us that. He spoke to us over in John chapter 7, and He said, when you believe in Me, it'll be like streams of living water that will spring up into your heart. Regardless of what is going on in and around the life of those who are walking with God, when we learn how to plant ourselves in Him, there is a spiritual resource beyond ourselves that we can draw upon. When our roots go down deep and strong, when we cultivate a life in God, there's a provision from Him. There's a positive outcome. Look at this. Which yields its fruit in season. The fruit of the Spirit, Paul said, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness. Fruit in our life and fruit in the life of others. When our life is planted in God, and everything around us is shaking, and the world around us is in transition, and we are firmly planted in Him, and we cultivate a life of spirituality where we draw upon spiritual resources, then we have fruit of the Spirit that's at work in our heart and life, that regardless of what is going on, God sustains us, God nourishes us, and we have enough for ourselves and for someone else. That's why the psalmist said over in Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be afraid. Because I'm planted in the things of God. I have a spiritual resource beyond myself. There is a strength to draw upon that never lets me down. My leaves don't wither. What's he talking about there? He's talking about that internal strength, that internal resource. Yes, it may be a dry place. Yes, it may be a drought. Yes, it may be that there's a storm swirling around me and it feels like I don't have the strength that I need. But when I learn how to cultivate my spiritual life, pay attention to what God is doing in and through me, He will walk me through whatever difficulties come. That's what Isaiah the prophet said over in chapter 43. It's a promise from God. It says, when you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. When you walk through the rivers, they're not going to sweep you away. When you walk through the flames, you're not going to get burnt. Because there is a strength that comes from Him. And if you want to know what will be a testimony in and through your life to the people around you, you listen. A testimony that God is real, that God is alive, that God is still working, is when you as a man or a woman of God can stand there strong and firm, regardless of what takes place. When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone. But the righteous, they stand firm forever. See, the storms come and the storms go. But when you have a cultivated life in God, when you are rooted deep in the things of God, when you trust Him and you know that He is always there for you, when that spring of living water is flowing and there continues to be spiritual fruit in your life, when everything around you is falling apart, There is no stronger testimony to the work of God, to the people around you. Whatsoever you do prospers. He's not just talking about financial prosperity here. It may include that, but he's talking about spiritual health, emotionally, spiritually. He's talking about what Jeremiah said over in chapter 29 and verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Regardless of what is taking place, regardless of the storm, regardless of the difficulty, you are firmly planted in Him. And you're not going to be moved. But there's some consequences of choosing the wrong path as well. Notice what he says. Verse 4, not so the wicked. Not so those who choose that other path. There is no stability. He says, they're like chaff that the wind blows away. Now, it's not language that we're all that familiar with, but here's what it means. The way that they would thresh wheat or grain sometimes is they would take the wheat, they would put it on the ground, and they would either walk on it or they would roll something heavy on top of it, and it would separate the kernel from the chaff, from the little fiber that is around it. And then when the wind was blowing, they would take it and they would throw it all up into the air, and the wind would blow the chaff away and the grain would fall back down. And they would just keep doing that over and over and over again. And here's what the psalmist said. The psalmist says, your life, when you are not walking with God, is like chaff. The wind comes, blows you away. There's no stability there. There's no strength there. You're not rooted in the things of God. It's just the direct opposite of what the proverb says. When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone. The chaff got blown away. But the righteous, they stand firm. They're still there. What happens in your life when the storm comes? Because I promise you, it comes. You can't love God enough to keep the storm from coming. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced that the more you love Him, the stronger the wind blows. Somebody should say amen to that. It's true, isn't it? You ever notice that when you start walking and living the way God wants you to walk and live, when you start focusing on the things God wants you to do, man, it's like, and I'm going to use the word intensity, it's like all hell breaks loose in your life. It's like, where'd that come from? I can tell you exactly where it came from. It came straight from the pit. He doesn't want you to walk firm and strong. I was actually talking with some of the guys out front. And it's an old Scottish proverb. I had a Scottish professor in Bible college, Thomas Houston. And we were talking one day, and one of the students was carrying on. He's like, well, you know, when you're walking with God, you know, the devil is like a toothless lion. Because there's that passage that says, be careful, because there's a lion that waits at the door who wants to devour you. He says, the devil is like a toothless lion. He doesn't have any teeth. He can't hurt the people of God. You can just walk with him, and it's going to be okay, and you never have to worry about anything. Dr. Houston looked at him, and he said, you know, he said, the devil may be old and toothless, but he can still give you a right good gumming. You think about that a little bit. You hear what I'm saying? You ever feel like you're just being gummed pretty good? Yeah, he can still give you a right good gumming. You got to be careful. He said, there's no stability there. My wife is going, why do you say stuff like that? I don't know. It's just in there. I don't know where it comes from. He said, there's no acceptance. Not so the wicked. They're like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. And what he means by that is stand approved, the word means. When you stand before the Lord, he may look at you and go, I don't know you. Who are you? You're not grounded. You don't have a cultivated spiritual life. You don't know Him. And that's what that word means. It means you not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Not only that, not only will you not be standing in the day of judgment before the Lord, but the same thing is true in the community of the people of God. You'll be isolated and alone. You see, here's what the psalmist is saying to us. We all make choices in life. We choose the way that we live. Are we going to walk His path? Are we going to walk our path? Are we going to spend time with Him? Or are we going to spend time with others? You can make that choice. God is not going to follow you around every single day and say, you got to do this. He's not going to get behind you, twist your arm, and make you do those things. He's not going to wake you up in the morning and make you do your devotions. He's not going to make you read His Bible. He's not going to make you attend worship. He's not going to make you be in a Bible study. He's not going to do any of those kind of things. It's a choice that you have to make. That is your choice. You make those decisions. But the consequences of those choices, He reserves to Himself. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. Make a choice. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Now look at his conclusion. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. In our Saturday night service last night, we were looking at the 23rd Psalm, and it begins with this. There's actually four words in the original Hebrew. It's nine in the English. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Peter, in response to that, I think, over in his second epistle, says this. Pay attention to what the Lord Jesus, who is the shepherd of your soul, wants you to do. Make a choice how you're going to live. A couple of different questions for you this morning as we close. Number one, am I pursuing happiness in the way God designed it? Because that's the overall beginning. Blessed, happy, content. That's something that we all want, right? That's the life that we all desire. That's the life that we want. That's the life that we pursue. The question is, how are we going to pursue that? What path are we going to choose to walk? Am I pursuing happiness in the way God designed? Secondly, am I in a place where I can be assured of God's hand of blessing and protection? You cannot be assured of that if you've backed yourself up to the enemy's fire. You understand what I'm saying? You're not going to find God's protection and blessing there. It's not going to be there. You warming yourself at the enemy's fire, that means a lot of different things to all different kinds of people. But if you find yourself this morning, and if you are, you already know what it is. You already know where it is. As soon as I begin to talk about it, Holy Spirit brought that to your mind, and He said, you need to pay attention to that. That's a place where you don't want to be with somebody you don't want to spend time with. You're going to end up with a result that you never intended. If you hear that in your mind, if you hear that in your spirit, if you hear that in your spot, in your heart, you need to pay attention to that. Because right now it might be nice and toasty. Before you know it, it's going to get hot. And if you aren't careful, you're going to get burnt. You end up with a result that you never wanted. Am I in a place where I can be assured of God's hand of blessing and protection? And do I want, here's the real one, do I want the consequences of the lifestyle that I'm choosing? You can choose your life. You can choose your path. You can choose your friends. You can choose your direction. You can choose how to spend your time. What you cannot choose are the consequences of that choice. God reserves that to Himself. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for today.